Hey, Chris. Hey, buddy. How's it going? Hey, listen, I'm sorry. I know I said that I would get you a little something for the podcast earlier, and I'm a little bit on the late side. I've been pretty busy. American football icon Brett Favre and I are down in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, attending a timeshare presentation, and right around the same time that you were saying, hey, send me a little something for the podcast, we were getting ready to go into Biblical Times Dinner Theater to enjoy a little bit of a show. And so I hope I'm not too late, but you know, the marijuana laws in Tennessee are just crazy. They're crazy. I looked into it. See, we went to a dispensary, right? And they were selling nugs, like real nugs. It's the real stuff. But Tennessee is dragging their feet on legalizing. It is still illegal to possess marijuana in the state of Tennessee. Entirely illegal. And yet there was a fully open dispensary. And I figured, well, it's probably just medical or something, right? Nope, not medical. There is no medical marijuana in Tennessee. So, Brett Favre and I bought some, you know, because we figured, well, I mean, clearly it's allowed because they were telling us that we wouldn't have any issues. And then a bunch of cops pulled up outside the dispensary. We're like, oh, great. That's the most terrifying thing ever. But also, it's a dispensary, so they've established a business. They're probably reporting their income to the IRS. So how on earth is this a thing? Are the cops raiding us? No, they were just pulling over some, drunk driver or something in the parking lot. And there was a whole bunch of them. And the white lady with the dreadlocks behind the counter was like, I have epilepsy. Can you tell those guys to go away? And the dude by the door of the dispensary with the gun was like, yeah, let me go talk to him. And I was kind of flabbergasted. And it turns out, so here's the thing, right? There's no medical marijuana in Tennessee. There's no recreational marijuana in Tennessee. Marijuana is entirely illegal. Possession can land you in jail in Tennessee. But here's the thing. What we purchased was not marijuana, it was hemp. You see, Tennessee law defines hemp as the cannabis plant containing less than 0.3% THC. That CBD hemp flower that you used to see sold in head shops in New Jersey, that was also kind of quasi-legal, circumventing the law. And it turns out, though, here's the thing. Marijuana doesn't contain THC. That's the thing. So if it contains 0.3 or less percent THC, you're fine. The vast majority of marijuana flowers do not contain more than 0.3% THC, because THC is not the active ingredient in marijuana. A chemical compound called THCA is the active ingredient in the marijuana plant. And so therefore, it's not, legally speaking, it's not marijuana, because THCA is not converted into THC until it's heated up. And so it's not marijuana in Tennessee. It's not marijuana until you're smoking it. Otherwise, you can possess it. So it seems to me like the only way you could actually go to jail for marijuana possession or use in the state of Tennessee is if they catch you holding it in for too long. If you take a big, big rip and they catch you holding your breath, then they can take you away and throw you in the slammer. But up until that point, it's totally fine. You can just ride around with it and nobody can do anything about it. Anyway, I got to get going. It's the intermission of the Biblical Times Dinner Theater. And I got to tell you, this show, that Southern gospel music with the harmonies, man, Brett Favre and I are currently attending the Women of Grace presentation that they have, and we don't want to miss the Woman with the Issue of the Blood segment of the show. So we're going to get going, but listen, if you ever are in this area, you got to go to Feasters on Teasters and Bakehouse. The Biblical Times Dinner Theater is fantastic. The Great Spirit Unique and Gifts is a great retailer with a lot of cool stuff, a lot of great pro-murder signs that you can get in the gift shop. Really it's just a fantastic place. But anyway, yeah, we're going to try and get back in now and get our worship on. And then in the morning is the timeshare presentation. I wasn't going to do it. When Wyndham called me up first and I was on mushrooms, I was like really ready. I was like, dude, this sounds like a great idea. I'm super into it. Well, I came back down and I was thinking to myself, well, that maybe wasn't the right decision to make it with a head full of psilocybin to agree to go to some timeshare presentation in where? Pigeon Forge? What's that? It's where Dollywood is, near Gatlinburg? Okay, I guess that sounds interesting enough. Is it cheap to go to the thing? Is there some reward? That's all I cared about. And I thought about it more and more. I saw some John Oliver video about timeshares. I started to get suspicious. But then I thought to myself, think about how much money you will spend on vacations over the course of a lifetime, right? Think about that. That's a lot. Now, that's a lot more than if you purchased vacations for life in advance now. So anyway, food for thought. We're going to be checking that out. I don't know, Margaritaville's pretty cool, and frankly, Pigeon Forge is kind of nice. I don't know. I'm mulling it over.
Welcome everybody to Life in the World to Come. That was the last time anybody ever heard from Will alive. This episode is going to be a little funeral for him, my best friend. Will passed away, deservedly, if I'm being frank about the situation. I mean, we all saw the Instagram story. You can't be getting that close to bears. You just can't. No matter how, look, they're really cute, you know? They're cute and they look friendly and they might even act friendly to you. But the thing about them is that that's like a 500-pound fucking knotted ball of strength and muscle beyond human comprehension. It doesn't even have to want to kill you to kill you. It can just give you like a firm pat on the back and it'll break your spine. And this thing wanted to kill Will. I don't know if it was just his face or if like Will said something that didn't get put on camera, but like it fucking, the thing had a fucking problem with Will. The thing took one look at Will and went, nuh-uh, no. I'm going to lure this little shit into a false sense of security and then, and then, well, then you do what it did. Man. And look, you know, I don't want to, I'm not here to push blame around. But I do know that this was a trip that he went on with Brett Favre. And listen, look, okay, you know, far be it from me and Brett, I, you know, listen, I love you. Never mind. That's weird. I feel like we've known each other for a while, but like we haven't like been like actively friends for like a lot. So like it feels weird to say. So I'm not gonna say. Look, listen. I think you're great. I think you're great for Will, but I also know that you're like into animals and stuff. And listen. Listen, I'm not, this is weird. Listen, and I'm not trying to push blame around. But I know that you're like an animal person. I know that's like your career. And I can just see you. I can just imagine you there as Will gets closer and closer to this fucking murderous beast. And you're just like, no, yeah, no, it's fine. It's friendly. No, people think they're dangerous, but they're not. You can trust me. This is my job. And listen, Brett. Listen, you listen to me. I mean, you saw the consequences of your action, so I'm sure I'm just pouring salt in the wound at this point, but, fucking, yeah, okay, I mean, look, I'm not trying to put blame around, but if the blame has to go somewhere, I mean, I'm not gonna put it on the bear. It's a wild fucking animal, you know? And I am gonna, and I am gonna, I am gonna go Captain Ahab on this bear. You know, just so we're clear, out of respect for my dead friend, you know? I am going to get an eye patch and a harpoon gun and roam the forests of wherever the fuck Will was looking for this thing to take revenge for stealing from me my friend and business partner. I am going to do that, but that's just out of respect for Will. That doesn't have anything to do with the bear. You know, the bear is a bear. It's a wild animal, and fucking humans shouldn't stand that goddamn close to it, you idiot. You fucking idiot. You're dead now. And you have no one to blame but yourself. Certainly not the bear. Maybe Brett. I don't know how much Brett encouraged this. And again, I'm not trying to cause drama. I'm not trying to start fights. But I can imagine Brett encouraging this. And Brett, I think that you're great for Will. Listen, Brett. And this is all purely a fantasy because Will is dead. But if you are ever on a trip like this with Will again, and listen, even if the bear thing wasn't your idea, I think as his partner, if your partner starts to get too close to a fucking bear, it's your responsibility to be like, hey, baby doll, my love, my special sweetums. Will's told me all the little pet names you have for each other. My special sweetums, my good little guy, my little soldier. Fucking step away from the goddamn bear. Don't do that. It's your responsibility. And Will, it goes both ways. Will, you do this for Brett too. If you're near a fucking bear, don't be. If you can see a bear, try to get into a point in your life where you can't see the bear anymore. Okay? This is how you check whether or not your life is going good. And if things are good, it's like safe and not dangerous. Look around. Is there a bear? Good. Thank God you're on the right track. Jesus Christ. Okay, let's get into some questions, I guess. Okay, and I'm not trying to harp on this. But before we do, though, I was looking at that Instagram story where Will is interacting with the bear. And the first clip in that series of Instagram stories is a man kind of jogging away from the bear with people, like, shouting. And when I saw that, my first thought was like, oh, God, look at that idiot. Look at this idiot running away. This idiot was trying to, like, get close to the bear. That's a fucking rookie move. You can't do that. Only idiots fucking get closer to the bear that they see. You know, you look at the bear from a distance, you can appreciate the bear. I want to be clear about that. You can appreciate the fucking nature splendor. I would love to just look at a bear from a safe distance, okay? But, like, I watched that first Instagram story, seeing that dude jogging away from the bear, and I thought, what a fucking idiot. What an unbelievably stupid man who fucking got out of his car to say hi to the goddamn bear. That's how you fucking get attacked by a bear, you clod. What a dipshit. I know that my friend William, my adult, responsible, smart friend William isn't gonna, and then guess what he fucking did? Just got closer and closer to that goddamn animal every fucking clip in that story, and now he's gone. That fucking bear ripped Will's throat out with its bare teeth, and that was just the start of what it did to my friend. So, I just wanted, you know, I guess I just maybe wanted to set the tone for this funeral, which is that, you know, listen, we're sad, we're gonna miss him, but also, like, fuck, you know, you fuck around, you find out. You know, nobody deserves to die, but, you know, when some people die, it isn't surprising, I guess. That's what I'm trying to say here. So, yeah, we're gonna get into questions, you know. We're going to do the thing that Will loved to do most in life, which was answer your questions on this podcast. I think it's what he would have wanted. So, let's get into it. Okay, here it comes. Our first question. Hello, Stuart and Richard. What sort of lullabies, nursery rhymes, and fables will children fall asleep to? Perhaps cautionary tales? I plan to have a child in the world to come, and I want to know the best ones. Thanks, Joey. See, you know, bits and pieces are going to survive the initial blast. Little chunks of folklore. A big one is going to be Goldilocks and the Three Bears. See, Goldilocks and the Three Bears, that's a fucking perfect story, dude. You know, that is the story of a little girl who fucks with bears and is eaten. And I think, you know, and I think that that's something that we can all learn from. Honestly, I'm kind of going through the story of Goldilocks and the Three Bears in my head. And I'm trying to figure out what the moral could possibly be, other than just kind of like, don't fuck with bears, you know? Like, what else? I guess there's a lesson about breaking and entering into people's houses and like taking shit that doesn't belong to you. There seems to be a weird amount of emphasis in the story of like the, oh, this is too big. This is too small. This is just right. That doesn't make sense with the beds, because the child one would be the smallest one. It's always the child one. It's like, you know, this is like the porridge. This one's too hot. This one's too cold. This one's just right. The fact that that motif is brought up in every kind of section of the story leads me to believe that it is some kind of metaphor, but for the life of me, I can't figure out what it is. It's just like, she's like, I guess, like, so, I guess I get, maybe it's just trying to teach children that people have preferences, but it, at the end of the day, you know, the lesson that sticks with you is that if you interact with a bear, that bear's going to eat you because it's a bear and you're a thing that bears can eat, you know, not even something, not necessarily something they want to eat, but they'll fucking do it. If pressed, you know? So, yeah, Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Don't do what Will did. You know? Will's like, oh, right now I'm too far away from the bear. Right now I'm just right, but he was wrong. That's the thing. It was like, at first he was like, oh, I'm too far away from the bear. And then he got close to the bear. He's like, oh, I'm too close to the bear. And then he backed away from the bear a little bit. He's like, this is just right. But the bear was like, I fucking got you. You've been lulled into my trap. You have no idea what my reach actually is. And then just a single slash and his throat exploded into blood and chunks of flesh in a single swipe of the beast's paw. So yeah, keep that in mind. If you see a house in the middle of the woods and you feel like, and you're hungry and you want to take a fucking nap, I guess, was fucking Goldilocks' motivation. I almost keep saying Little Red Riding Hood, but no, it's Goldilocks. I guess that was Goldilocks' motivation, is that she was hungry and a little sleepy. So she wanted to take a little nap in a fucking stranger's house. And so basically, yeah, so if you're fucking tired and hungry in the middle of the woods and you want a snack and a nap, make sure the house that you're staying at don't belong to a fucking bear. If it's a guy, you know, just take like a handgun. And then you can eat and sleep wherever you please. But, you know, otherwise, if it's a bear, that handgun is going to do shit. So just don't sleep there. You know, bear can shrug off a single bullet. You know, you might, you know, if you can get like a bunch into like a vital spot, you might be able to take down a bear, but motherfuckers are fast and it'll be on top of you before you can get a full clip out. So I guess, what am I saying here? Carry a gun. I'm keeping track of every, it sounds like I'm just kind of going stream of consciousness right now, but I am keeping a careful mental inventory of every word that's left my lips. What I'm saying here is carry a gun and sleep in whatever house you want, because you have a gun and no one can stop you unless that someone's a bear. If that someone is a bear, don't sleep in their house because they'll fucking eat you. They're a bear. And anyone, and again, I can't stress this enough, anyone who gets close to a bear doesn't deserve to die, but is going to, and we shouldn't be all, like, shocked and surprised when they do. Yeah. So that's your answer. Goldilocks. You know, some stories stick around because they stay relevant. And you know, I can't help but wish that my friend, that my dear departed friend, had maybe, you know, maybe put the flip that on, put on a little audiobook of Goldilocks as he was driving to wherever he's driving. You know? So that when they saw that bear on the side of the road, they didn't feel the need to park and just be like, God, it's weird. Listen, man, I'm a little pissed at you for doing this shit. This is what this whole episode is. It's just me shaming Will for getting close to that goddamn bear. You can't be doing that. You can't be doing that, you idiot. I'm not surprised you're dead. Okay. All right. Next question. Okay. Our next question. Dear Christopher and William, what will become of bagel and cream cheese in the world to come? This is urgent. I mean, I imagine it's going to be like a lot of like kind of food scouring in the world to come. Like, you're not going to be able to make your own bagels. You just get that out of the way. Like, flour is incredibly flammable. It's all gonna fucking burn to dust right away. And no one's gonna hold on to the agricultural knowledge necessary to grow more. So, like, if you want a bagel, you're just gonna have to go, like, crawl around a bombed-out bagel shop and hope that you find one where the cream cheese hasn't spoiled as badly as the rest. And there's going to be, like, and I think, like, the upside to this whole situation is that you will never have to fucking deal with a hot bagel with cream cheese again. Listen, I've talked about this before. I think only on the Instagram, though. So I want to codify it on my podcast so that everyone knows. Stop putting cream cheese on hot bagels. Ain't nothing wrong with a hot bagel, but you put butter on the hot bagel. You know why? Because butter is supposed to melt. Butter is designed to melt. Cream cheese is not supposed to melt. When you get cream cheese hot, it turns into fucking cream of cheese soup. Okay? And it fucking splutes all over your hands and shirt. And it gets stuck in your beard. And it sucks. Okay? If I want my bagel hot, I'll ask for it toasted. Every bagel shop I've ever been to. If I want a fucking hot bagel, I'll ask for it. You have a fucking neon sign in your goddamn window that says hot bagels? Fuck off. I don't want my bagel hot. If my bagel is hot, it'll melt my cream cheese and it'll be a fucking borderline unacceptable culinary experience. Like, partly because, like, you end up not even eating half the cream cheese. It's just, like, if that cream cheese is hot, your fucking teeth squeeze the bagel together, and it all just squirts out around the side, and you lose it. It goes on the goddamn floor. So, and that's the beautiful thing about the world to come, is that, like, is that all of these bagels are going to be very stale, and the cream cheese is going to be fucking completely solid, which is what you want, you know? You want your cream cheese to be more cheese than cream. So yeah, good news. No more hot bagels. If you like hot bagels, do you get that hot bagel with cream cheese? And if so, why are you a sociopath? Yeah, okay. Good. I guess that's 3 minutes out of the way. God, how long is this fucking funeral gonna be? I got like a fucking, I want to get like a cheeseburger. Or do you think they let you eat at funerals? If you're gonna like rock up to a funeral with like a big bag of popcorn, is that cool? Is it okay to interrupt a funeral to go to the door of the church to pick up your DoorDash order? The answer is no, it's not rude, but only if you bring enough for everybody. I'm gonna get fucking. I'm gonna just like, you know. You're allowed to interrupt a funeral for a DoorDash order as long as you remember to buy fucking soup dumplings for everybody. You're gonna eat soup dumplings while you mourn. Okay, next question. I've been waiting for a little bit now for the I don't know if it's like a lawnmower or like a leaf blower. There's some kind of machinery. Some kind of motor-based machinery revving outside my window. I was waiting for it to stop so I could record, but it doesn't seem like it. Oh, no, it's still going. Yeah, I don't think it's going to stop, so we're just going to barrel ahead. And if it sounds like someone's doing yard work outside, it's because they are. I'm also fully nude right now. I don't know if anyone was interested in that piece of information, but I'm fully nude. I haven't gotten out of bed yet today. I just kind of woke up, remembered that I had that, you know, there were some technical difficulties so I couldn't work on the podcast last night. So I need to, like, you know, I woke up, I remembered, I gotta do the fucking solo up today. And I didn't even get out of bed. I just kind of dragged my laptop onto my chest, opened it up, and started doing it. So I'm fucking hungry. I haven't had breakfast yet. But the important thing for you all to remember is that I am nude. I'm fully nude as I'm recording this. So what do you think about? What do you think about that, huh? You like that? Is that hot? Is that hot? Do you like it? Our next question. Oh, okay, dear Chris and Will, recently I've been working on a musical, and that got me thinking. What will become of musical theater, or theater in general, in the world to come? Will Broadway thrive with new productions about apocalypse life, or will the concept of theater go extinct? Sorry if this has been asked before. I'm relatively new to the podcast. Love, Peasy. P.S. Unrelated, but this next episode gets uploaded a day before my birthday. I'm glad the universe has good timing, even if this ask doesn't get featured. Well, Peasy, happy birthday. And you're right, we have talked about the whole musical theater thing before. But I can recap it really quick. You know, the gist of it is no. No, it's all gone. It's all... Listen, you know, I grew up in the musical theater scene. I was a theater kid, and if theater kids love anything, it's fucking MK Ultraing themselves into thinking that theater is important. That is the, like, more than theater itself, I think, you know? More than theater, more than the craft of acting, I think what actors love is just like talking to each other with earnest expressions and just being like, what we're doing here is so important. God, you know, this is so important. This, like, to be here with all of you in this production of Kinky Boots, I just, like, this is a story that needs to be told, and we're doing such a service, and I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that you and us and all of us together, we get to come together. I think we're going to change the world tonight. I think we're going to get in change. I think they're going to see this beautiful, incredible story of Kinky Boots, of these boots and how they're so kinky. These boots are so kinky. These are the kinkiest boots anyone's ever seen. And that's so important. It's so important. It's so important. The kinky boots. Oh, God, the boots are so kinky. And the people need to know. The people need to know about the kinky boots. We're charity workers. What we do is the same as charity. We get paid to do kinky boots, and we're heroes for it. What was I saying? Anyway, yeah, that's the kind of the theater ethos, and that it's just not survivable. It doesn't matter how much you believe in yourself and how much you support your friends, or, like, outwardly support your friends and talk shit about them behind your back like most theater kids. You know, no matter any of that shit, you know? You can believe in the power of music all you want. Guess what? It's just music, and it can be easily forgotten. Happy birthday. Theater is gonna die, and is frankly already dead. And whatever happens after this is just kind of the death throes. Just kind of the last gasp of the dying medium. All right. Okay. I'm so excited for this next question. This is the kind of question I've been dying to answer for years. This is a question from Jeremy, and Jeremy asks, how the hell will I protect myself from creepy-ass guys in the school standing next to me at the urinals? Listen. Never back down from a challenge. If there's somebody standing next to you close at the urinal, it's like somebody pulling up next to you at like a stoplight in their Maserati and kind of revving their engine. Okay, no words have been spoken between the two of you, but the challenge is clear. And now you're in a position where the only thing that you can do is assert your own manhood. This person is challenging your dominance, and it's time to fucking go, bud. So just kind of flex your pelvic muscles, and you got to intimidate him. You got to intimidate him with the force and the power of your stream. You gotta fucking blast that shit out. Just all of it in less than a second. So it's less of a stream and more of like a fucking intense water ride style splash. And then they'll know that you can't be fucked with. They're gonna be like, damn. This guy is the single most healthy prostate I've ever encountered in all of my travels. I do this all the time. I go from town to town and stand next to people at urinals like an old west drifter trying to find and defeat the fastest guns in the west. But that's the thing about all this thing you got to remember, cowboys, that there's always somebody quicker on the draw. And that's what he's going to think about you. He's going to think, damn, time to fucking hang up my spurs because I've been defeated. So anyone standing next to you, anytime anyone's standing next to you at a urinal, just like piss hard as you can. And when they walk away disgusted, know that they are defeated and that you have asserted your dominance over them. They understand the pecking order now. Okay, so these solo eps are usually like 40 minutes long at the pace I'm going now. That's like, what, 10 more questions? Cool. Okay, good. Okay, cool. Okay, good. God. Funerals are fucking boring, man. I want that cheeseburger. I mean, I respect Will and stuff, but like, I can, you know, I don't gotta look at him in a box. You know, I don't have to look at him in this box and be like, hey, fuck, I'm going to miss you. Because I'm just going to miss him, you know? I'm going to miss him because he's not there anymore. Not because I saw his fucking dead body in a box. It doesn't help that, I mean, I'm not, you know, nothing against his parents, but I don't feel like they really put a lot of, I don't think they put a lot of money into this whole ceremony, you know? Like, I'm looking at the body, and, like, they didn't clean it up. I mean, the thing looks like it died the way that it died, you know? There's, like, a big, like, bloody gash in his neck. And his head is just kind of hanging on by a flap of skin. And he looks, like, you know, the fucking crazy thing is, like, he got his, like, his neck is a mess. His neck is just open. It's a mess. And, like, he's... And the crazy thing is the blood is still kind of oozing, like it's still like he's in like a fresh pressed like suit to lay in his casket, but it is like there is blood oozing out of it, but he is dead. It's like that's how hard this bear killed him, is that he's been dead for days and he's still bleeding. But the fucked up thing is that the bear left his face, like his face is mostly intact, and he just looks scared, you know. Like, he just looks really afraid. Like, you can see, like, the last thing he ever felt kind of chiseled into the structure of his face. His fucking rigor mortis face, just this endless, this kind of forever locked in a grimace of fear. And it doesn't, I don't love knowing that my best friend died a coward. You want to imagine that he kind of like jumped to his feet and at least kind of just sort of just like, just take a swing at the thing, maybe grab its neck, try to wrestle it. Just try to like, and you're not gonna win against a bear, but just to like, you gotta just like fucking, you gotta just like stand up and like, and fucking give them one for Team Human, just like, just do your best. And you can tell by the rigor mortis expression stamped permanently onto Will's face that that is not how this went down. That he was being all cocky, being like, "Oh, look at my little snooter friend, my little boy. Oh, he's so nice." And then the bear, and then fucking things changed. The mood shifted. The bear got aggressive, and you can tell. You can tell that he fucking pissed and shat himself in his final moments. Frankly, he can smell it. You can smell it, frankly. I don't know if his parents didn't like. I don't know if his parents didn't bother changing his pants. If they were like changing the corpse's pants and they saw all that shit and they're like, "Ugh," and then they just kind of like stopped because they thought it was gross and just kind of threw him in the casket. I mean, that's my theory. I don't know. I haven't talked to his parents. But at least the point is that like the thing, it fucking it, the things it stinks. It fucking it stinks. Oh, my fucking DoorDash is here. Hold on. I asked for a egg everything bagel, and they just gave me a regular everything bagel. It was just like fine. But I wanted the egg one. All right, we're at 37 minutes. Let's do one more. Let's do one last question. All right, we're gonna switch it up a little bit. For a while now, somebody used the Life in the World to Come email as part of some kind of hilarious bit, and gave my email to like, I think it's some kind of newsletter for this guy Matthew Hussey. I don't know if he's like famous. I'd never heard of him before. But I keep getting these emails to the Life in the World to Come email account that are basically just it's so strange. This guy is like clearly some kind of like pickup artisty style life coach, but like for women. He's all of his emails, they're written to me. They have my name plugged into them. But it's very like they're very it clearly thinks I'm a woman. These emails think that I'm a woman and that I simply cannot get a man. And so at least once a week I get this email that's just advice about how I can go about picking up a man. And I think to end off this episode, and I think this is what we'll want. I brought in this poem written by Matthew Hussey to read for Will at his funeral. This is the latest letter I've gotten from Matthew Hussey, and maybe there's a question in here that I can answer. I haven't read the whole thing yet, but we're just gonna do a little reading, because literally every episode I scroll by this guy and I keep forgetting that he's what he is, and I'll click on the email and remind myself. So I'm just gonna like, maybe it'll get it out of my system if I just read one of these. Okay. Chris, you're about to master a truth about dating dynamics that most people will never understand. Men love, this sentence is in bold. Men love the chase, but we get discouraged if it's discouraged with the game of hard to get. Parentheses. I hear you going, "Huh? Stick with me. I'm about to explain." Simply put, men actually want to earn your attention and attraction, but they need engagement from you that but they need encouragement from you that you won't simply reject them on the spot, or that you won't even try to pursue them in the first place. Now, before you get frustrated with seems like an impossible catch-22, take a step back and think of it this way.
If a man you just met said, "Chris, you're the most amazing woman I've ever met. Please be mine forever." You'd probably be like, thanks, I'm flattered, but we've only ever been on one date. And on the flip side, if a guy you like didn't answer your text for 5 days, you'd lose his number pretty quickly. This next sentence is in bold again. Chris, the beginning stages of dating are a delicate dance, both for men and women. Chris, the beginning stages of dating are a delicate dance, and both the man and the woman need to learn the right steps to make it work. It's all about balancing initiative and restraint until you know enough about the other to decide what you want to decide you want to move the relationship from casual to something more serious. It's incredibly difficult to get that balance just right, which is why so many new relationships crash and burn before they have a chance to really get off the ground. But that doesn't have to be the way for you! That was in all caps. All you have to do is follow these three steps. Step one, click here to download your guide. Step two, turn to secret number five. Step three, pay special attention to my simple technique on page 55, oh my god, where I show you exactly how to encourage him to chase you without ever playing hard to get. Enjoy being one of the only women who knows how to do this in the history of ever. That's a direct quote. I'm going to read that last line again. Enjoy being one of the only women who knows how to do this in the history of, and this last word is in italics, ever. We're in this together. Always. Matthew X. Oh, he gave me a little kiss. Oh, Matthew. Matthew, are you flirting with me? Well, thanks everybody for listening to Life in the World to Come. What's that? Oh, wait, hold, everyone back up for a second. I'm just gonna put my ear to the corpse for a second. I'm just gonna listen to his heartbeat. No, this is normal. I do this all the time. I do this at every funeral. I'm just gonna kind of put my head in the casket, put my head to... Oh my god, there's a heartbeat. Oh, we did this prematurely. Oh, the bear maimed him. The bear just maimed him, everybody. He's going to be okay. He's in terrible condition, and I don't know if he'll ever walk again. But he's going to be all right. Fucking get him out of that casket. Fucking wheel him out of here. Fucking patch him up. We'll be back next week for another beautiful episode of your favorite podcast, Life in the World to Come. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, you can do so at patreon.com/lifeintheworldtocome. Or is lifeintheworldtocome.patreon.com? No, it's patreon.com/lifeintheworldtocome. That's the one. If you want to support, buy our merch on Big Cartel, you can go to lifeintheworldtocome.bigcartel.com. If you'd like to send us an email, you can do so on Discord or at lifeintheworldtocome@gmail.com. I almost said my real email address for some reason. I had to pause for a second to stop myself from just saying my real, normal, actual email address. That's fun. Our intro and outro music is We Are the Hellhounds by the Taxpayers. And that's all she wrote, everybody. I'm going to go visit Will at the hospital. But I hope that you all have a great day on this beautiful joy. Go with God. Go with God.